Father, we just love you and we thank you for so many people who will give up time in their life and come out for training and for special times with you, Lord. That just proves that their heart is sold out. So we just ask you to bless them, bless the times they do have at home, and just give us energy and refreshing tonight, Lord. The best refreshing we could have is your presence. So please let your presence just be manifest here tonight. Quicken your word in us, Lord, and train us. We're here to be trained, and you're the trainer. So we just ask you to prepare us for whatever you want to do. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to start in 1 Kings 9. We're talking about prayer because God has really wanted us to kick up the prayer around here. And so we're going to be having little talks about prayer, and then we're going to pray. So we've had people coming together in men's meeting praying, in worship praying, in the cafe and the store praying. I'm kind of seeing different groups of people praying over different things. So I'm hoping tonight with this group that we're going to have some corporate prayer for the church, you know, that would be more inclusive overview type of everything. Because we don't want any departments left out. And we have departments that don't have anyone currently working in them, so we can't trust their ministers to pray over that department because there are no ministers. We need to pray that we get some. So somebody has to pick up the vacancies here and there, and I hope our group can do that. 1 Kings 9, 3 through 7. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard your prayer and your supplication that you have made before me. I have hallowed this house which you have built to put my name there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And if you walk before me as David your father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all I have commanded you, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of your kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David your father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if you shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but will go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. You know what? I didn't mean to read all that, but God must have meant for us to hear all of that, because it kind of applies, you know, to if we want to rescue this church and keep this church alive, and if we don't do the things he gave us, then this church could come to an end, and we don't want that to happen. But it's really funny, because I only meant to read verse 3, and I wrote through 7, and then I looked down here and went, oh, well, that was over there in Isaiah that I was going through verse 7, not here. But it's funny how that really fit. God kind of tricked me into reading it, you know. So that's pretty cool. I was only trying to read that God's heart and his eyes are open to his church perpetually. And that means at all times, in every season, troubled times, good times, morning, noon, and night, anytime, his eyes are open to this church. In 2 Chronicles 6:29, the Lord said, then what prayer or what supplication soever shall be made of any man or of all the people of Israel, when everyone shall know his own sore and his own grief, and shall spread forth his hands in this house, then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render to every man according to all his ways, whose heart you know, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. So we come to church to pray for a lot of things. One of those things is healing. But you really notice that God said he's looking for hearts, and he knows all of our hearts. He's looking for hearts that are surrendered to him when we come to pray for things. So in the preparation prayers and our personal prayer time is when we need to make sure we're getting our own private heart ready and right with God. So when we come together in corporate prayer in his house, we know it's going to be heard and we will see the healing. Isaiah 56:1. This is probably where I meant to go through 7. So we'll go over there and find out. Isaiah 56, starting in verse 1. And I'm going to go through 7 and see if this is what I meant or if he tricked us again. Sometimes I think I must be dyslexic. I just mess up where I'm at all the time in here. Thus saith the Lord, keep judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that does this, and the son of man that lays hold on it, and keeps the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that's joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me. Oh, no, I don't mean to go through 7. I don't know where I got a 7. Just forget that. Okay. I have no idea what chapter this came out of, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Yes, you do want verse 7.
Well, you're right. I want 5. I don't know what 3 and 4 are doing in there. We'll just start at 5. Even unto, okay, we'll start at 4. For thus saith the Lord, unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths and choose the things that please me. I did want that one. People that are choosing the things that please God, that's what I wanted. And take hold of my covenant. And I like that, take hold of his covenant. God made an agreement with us. You know, some people think I got saved and that's it. Yeah, I'm not going to hell. There was an agreement, a covenant, like a contract. And God said, the ones who are pleasing me and really take a hold of this, what I've called them out of and into, get a grip on it. Even unto them will I give in my house and within my walls a place, there's your position, and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. A name represents who you are. I mean, you're put in a position, but then your name is your character and your authority and the power that goes along with that position. So God says, those who do the things that please me, those who take a hold of the covenant I'm making with them in my house, I'm going to position them and I'm going to build their character, their reputation. I'm going to give them authority and I'm going to give them power to do what I position them to do. That is really awesome. And that's what God is doing here right now. That's what he's getting ready to do here in a bigger way. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone that keeps the Sabbath from polluting it and takes hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted upon my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all people. And I didn't include 8, but the Lord gathers the outcast. He gathers the outcast. You know, and that's part of what the house is about, is to bring in the outcast. And we need to be ready to do that, because I think he's getting ready to do that through us. So I want to look at couple of thoughts there. Do you want to be positioned? Do we want to be positioned? We're his ministers. That's not just a badge so you can pray at the altar on Sunday. It means I have chosen you. I have separated you. And if you'll do the things that please me, then I can position you here and I can empower you in that position. And I think we're getting ready to gear up a bit. God's getting ready to do things. So this is really fitting to what he wants to do here. So how? God is wanting prayer. He calls it a house of prayer, and he wants prayer. We have struggled so hard with prayer here. I mean, we started out, we tried to have Monday nights. There were 4, then there were 3. Then we just sat and looked at each other and said, I don't think this is working, you know? And I know God can move through only 2 or 3 people, but we just didn't seem to know how to make it work. Now it's working, and it's working in different little pockets of people. You know, I said at ladies' meeting I was going to tie my hair up under a hat and wear a men's suit and sneak in on Wednesday night so I could be part of that prayer, you know. Jeanette said, you can't wear makeup. And I said, forget it. I'm not coming.
I'd smell you anyway.
I don't wear perfume. No, you wouldn't.
Nate does. You can.
It's a pretty lady's perfume.
And I don't know what all you guys are praying about, but I know, you know, the worship group is praying in worship, and the store is praying about the store and the ministry of the store and the cafe and ministering to people. But like I said a while ago, who's praying about the Sunday school? Who's praying about the toddler room? Who's praying about hospitality? Because we don't have it. We don't have someone just going running up to the hospital and calling people who are sick. And I mean, we have prepared meals here and there, but we don't have someone who is mega anointed into hospitality. And you know what? We haven't had Sunday school for the last 3 weeks. We haven't even had the nursery, the toddler room, open for the last 3 weeks. I can't keep seeing people fill positions that they're not called to, because somebody who's called to it hasn't discovered their call. And that's where our personal prayer has to tell us what we're called to. What is God asking me to do right now? What is He anointing me to do right now? And when we try to fill somebody else's position we're not anointed for, there's no power. It's like a babysitter that doesn't like kids. There's just no power there. Kids aren't getting anything out of it, you know? So in our personal prayer, we need to be saying, God, what do you want me to do? And then in our corporate prayer, we need to be begging God to fill these positions with the right people that will really have a heart to do what they're called to do. And we have a lot of positions filled, but we have a lot of them empty too. But how do we pray? How do we actually come before God? And you know, I've been in prayer meetings where I felt so out of place because I'm just sitting there feeling like an average carnal human, not feeling spiritual, anointed. And others are like praying off in tongues and they're shouting and yelling, or they're shaking and falling, and I'm going, man, how come I'm not spiritual? Or they're just weeping for the lost, and I'm sitting there going, I'm really hungry. When is this going to be over, you know? I mean, that's honestly, we have so much flesh. And when we don't feel spiritual, we don't pray. But prayer is simply talking to God. It's simply talking to Him. We have real needs to talk to Him about. We have personal needs. We have church needs. And we need to talk to God about it. And we don't have to be acting all super spiritual. We don't have to shout and fall down. And if we do, that's cool. It's kind of fun. You know, it's nice to know that we're alive in there. But we don't have to do that to pray. It's just talking to God. And let's turn over to Matthew 6. You know, one thing that really, really stands out to me in prayer is that if we really believed in it, we'd do a lot more of it. If you really believed that God was going to do what you ask Him to do, you'd ask Him for a lot more. But when we know that He's going to do it is when we know that we have the petitions we ask, when we know that we've heard Him and we know what He wants us to pray. Well, do we know He wants Sunday school teachers? Yes. Do we know He wants nursery workers? Yes. Do we know He wants ministers and evangelists? Of course He does. That's part of the body of Christ. So when we know what He wants and we pray for it, then when you really believe something's going to happen, you'll want to pray. I mean, you just, this life comes into, wow, I'm releasing God to do it, you know? And He's waiting for us to release Him to do some things. Matthew 6, verse 5 says, when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand praying in the synagogues, in the corners of streets, that they might be seen of men. And truly I say unto you, they have their reward. When you pray, enter into your closet, and when you shut your door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and your Father, which sees in secret, will reward you openly. That's our personal prayer, just spending time pouring your heart out to God. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do. They think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Your Father, therefore, be not like unto them. Your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask Him. And then He goes on to tell us how to pray. It doesn't mean we're supposed to say this prayer, because that would be a vain repetition. A vain repetition is just repeating certain words over and over and over and over, And now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Before I got saved, I was terrified of being alone in a house overnight. I was lay there in bed and imagine all the boogeyman creeping in and murder and rape and all these things that could happen. And I was so scared. I had not been in church. I had not a clue who God was. But I had heard that prayer, and I prayed that whenever I was alone. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my soul of the Lord to keep. I didn't even know what that part meant. If I should die before I wake, God, please don't let me die before I wake. You know, I get to that part. I pray the Lord my soul to take, but don't take it tonight. That's the only prayer I knew. That and something about over the tongue and through the teeth or something, you know, and your food getting to your belly. I forgot that one. But I didn't usually pray that because I wasn't scared when I ate, you know. So I only prayed when I was scared. But a vain repetition, you know, sometimes we do that. We come into certain styles of praying, certain things we've heard other people pray, the way that they pray, and we just copycat. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. I mean, when I'm talking to my daughter, I don't have to think about it. How am I going to talk to Janiyah today? I'm about to get to Janiyah's house. And I'm not sure how to word what I want to say to her, you know. We don't do that with each other. Just talk to him. And then the Lord says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If we're really praying, God, I want to know what your will is. I mean, this was a prayer to tell us the heart of prayer, not to repeat these words. God, we want your will here at Burning Bush. I mean, what's a church that's not yet know the will of God? We ought to know his will here. And he wants us to know. Give us this day our daily bread. The Apostle Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Sometimes we pray for what we want, not what we need. But we have needs here. And we're talking corporate prayer mostly here tonight. We have definite needs here. Daily bread in the church. Daily bread, there's a lot of daily bread. Yeah, the Bible is daily bread. But daily bread means what exactly I need to survive today. I need the Word of God. I need the presence of God. I need the heart of God. I need the mind of God. You know, it just shifts you into a different realm of living once you're in connection with God. You see everything different. You respond to people differently. I mean, years ago, God shifted me into his realm to see grumpy, mean people. And he said, they are the most hurting, wounded people in the face of this earth. Just pour love on them. Don't be offended when they're grumpy with you. You know, I don't know when I mentioned John that comes here a lot. But John came here looking pretty grumpy, didn't he? I know a lot of you would look at John. He came in with that hood almost covering his whole face. He didn't really want to be seen. Never smiling, you know. But loving John, just loving, all of us loving on John. And the other day, you know, I talked to John about surrendering his life to the call of God. And he said, I don't know what that means. What does he want me to do? I mean, he went home and thought about it, though, and he came in yesterday and he said, I'm ready to do that. Whatever God wants with me. He not only was smiling yesterday, he was laughing out loud. He started as a grumpy person who now can laugh out loud because he got loved here. Love is powerful, but love doesn't spoil. I mean, a lot of churches are, they won't talk about obeying God. They won't talk about getting things right with God. And he is loving, but he's also righteous. You can't hang out with him while you're choosing to hang out in sin. You know, there is repentance. But we need to pray for our needs, and we have a lot of needs here. We need to come into oneness with God. We need to submit to his will, whatever his will is. This is kind of a how to seek forgiveness, how to ask for your needs, and we all know all this. We've been through this prayer a lot of times, so I'm not going to spend all night going through that prayer. But we've been through there, and we understand that we need to forgive people before we come to God. You know, he says if you don't, then he can't hear you. Our iniquities separate us from God. So we need to come in having laid everything down. So when we first come into God, we need to confess our sins. And then we need to start bringing our needs. Because if you're trying to worship him when you're full of need, it doesn't work. Your worship can't get past your needs. You need to pour everything out, speaking to him first. And then after we pour everything out, we need to listen. We need to listen. We need to be able to hear what God is saying to us. And that takes just being quiet and waiting for a while. After we've poured it all out and our minds are clear, God, what do you want us to pray? What is on your heart? What is on your mind? We need to just spend some time listening to him. So when we come to pray corporately, if you don't know what we need, I could give you a list. I'm going to give you a list. Yeah, I'm going to do that first. I'm going to give you that little hint. I'm going to give you a list of needs around here. We need positions filled. For Sunday school. For toddlers. And I think eventually even for the separate nursery to get the babies and toddlers separated. We need people moving in hospitality. We need watchmen on their post. We need intercessors grouping together for all these different causes. We need evangelists. We have a few. And some of them are really stirred up right now. Glenn 2, we have to call you Glenn 2 because he's Glenn 1. Glenn 2 here is very evangelistic. He's just stirring all kinds of people up all day long. He got his phone and got everybody praying, and he's just really evangelizing. And it shows because evangelists bring people in, and he's bringing people in. We need to bring people in. We don't want to be a little clique that we're perfectly happy to come and love on each other, and that's enough, you know. We need to bring the people in, gathering people. We need pastors. God has given me things about setting up pastors over 10, pastors over 50, pastors over the pastors. That's for when we start to really begin to grow. Everybody needs a personal pastor who can help them and be there for them and pray with them and minister to them. But you're the people who are going to become some of those pastors so that we can break up into smaller groups and pastor individual a few people so they all get that intimate relationship. So we need more people trained as pastors. I think we need somebody new to start teaching ladies' meeting. This week, I did the Sunday school, I did the morning service, I did the ladies' meeting, and I'm doing tonight's training. I don't think I should be teaching four times in a week. I do right now. That's the position he has me in right this minute. But I think he has other people to take over some things. And I think ladies' meeting needs a new teacher right now. We have 8, 9, 10, 12 women at a time when someone's anointed in position there. And whenever that ends, we dwindle. We end up with 3, 4 ladies on ladies' meeting. It's because somebody's not in the position. And they don't even know they're called to it because they haven't been asking God and hearing that he's saying, you're next. So we need to know who's next. They need to know. We need to pray for about that. No, thank you, Nate. No, thank you, Natalie.
I offered, man. Fine. Just live with what you got on your
I think we need a Sunday school administrator who just oversees all the Sunday school stuff and has a heart to pray for those teachers and the kids and completely take that department and just be on fire for that. We need more workers. Right now, we need volunteers in the store because we're minimal paying Paula. Janiyah's working for free, but it's very difficult because she's homeschooling all those kids. And we need more workers that are called and positioned there. So we need more volunteers because we don't have any money to pay them yet. We have people. That's some of the needs here, and I know there's more needs. We have people who need jobs. Our ministers that are here need to be prepared. We need to be delivered of some things. This is on the needs list. We need to pray for each other. If God points out to you some things in other ministers, then you are being given the assignment to pray for that person. We need deliverance. We need healing. We need to be anointed. We need deeper relationship with God and each other. We have a lot of need for physical healing in this church, in our regular members and our visitors. We need to see more healing. We need to know God's heart. We need guidance and direction. We need more prophecy. I had this one down, but I'm beginning to see it in answer. When do we pray corporately? Do we want to have prayer meetings at night? Do we want to have prayer meetings during the day? Do we? Anybody have any leading on that? I would welcome that, because I keep saying, God, you want corporate prayer. You want me to set a date, a time, and I don't get a day and a time yet. I see him doing it in different areas. But as far as saying we're having corporate prayer, everybody's invited, because it's not just for us. It's for the whole body. When do we do that? You know, I like to sound real spiritual and say, well, I'll come in here with a morning prayer time, and I'll come in here with an afternoon prayer time, and I'll come here for 3 nights a week, too. But you know what? I can't do that. I can't do that. And most of you can't do that. I mean, that's not even reasonable. If it doesn't happen in secret, it won't happen publicly. Isn't that true with worship, Nate? Nate lives in worship all the time. I mean, you know, he just must have a wonderful life where he can just live in worship all the time. He's always talking about worship at home, you know. But I know that what we do at home is what will happen here. If we're not praying privately, we won't be praying here corporately. The things we want, we have to incorporate them privately first in our personal life. Prayer must become real. We need a team that will give themselves to God's Spirit to set him free through prayer. His will, not ours. We need to renew soaking times. I love the intimate music that's coming at the end of our service, but I hear something in that. It's more of an invitation to intimacy. It's more of inviting people, come, come, come. Every time Hannah sings, I hear her saying, come, come to me, come to me. Or saying, I am here, you know. It's more of a drawing people to come. But we also need a time. It's hard after church. We've already been here 2 or 3 hours. Kids are all rowdy and they want to go home and they're hungry and they need naps. And people have been here long and they're leaving and we're saying goodbye to the visitors. And there's an end to that intimacy time. But we need a time where we can come and not even try to worship, not even try to pray. Just lay down before the Lord and soak. We need to do that individually at home. Even if you go to sleep. God can work in you when you're sleeping if it's designated sleep. Designated sleep. God, I'm not here to take a nap. I am here to soak. I am here that I want you to do something in me. I've prayed. I've confessed. It's all out. Now I'm just here to listen. I'm just here to receive. I just want you to come. Now, if you fall asleep in that condition, he works in your sleep. He works in you even if you're sleeping. He may even put you to sleep on purpose. So don't worry about if you fall asleep. Sometimes we have to fall asleep to shift out of thinking, trying. You know, we sometimes sleep is the only way we can soak. But if you're just going, I'm going to take a nap, and, you know, God didn't do anything. Did you invite him to? Was that your purpose? You know, soaking is very, very different than just napping. Harvey and I went through the few years of really soaking type worship. And because I guess because I'm prophetic, I don't know. I always had visions. I always had understanding. I always came out with all kinds of stuff to share. Harvey never knew what was going on. He would just lay down on the floor through the music. He could get up an hour later, and you'd say, what happened? I don't know. Well, what do you feel? No, nothing. Sometimes he'd go to sleep for the whole time. But in the days following, I saw changes in his life. I saw the changes in his thinking, in his emotions. Something happened. Something happened. Sometimes God would even tell me what he did in Harvey, even though Harvey didn't know. But I was also teaching inner healing, so I had very clear, vivid visions of exactly what was going on, you know, so that I could teach from that. So it doesn't matter if you understand it or don't understand it. It's happening. Anybody who's seeking God will find God. And when you're doing this soaking thing, it's you shifting out of your thoughts, your wants, your ideas, your pleading, your confessions, and saying, your turn, God. Now I'm listening. And who can't listen? When we come in, we don't know what to pray. We don't know what to say. We don't know what to do. So we don't want to go to prayer meeting. Can you lay down and do nothing? Who can't lay down and do nothing? There's no effort in that. And that's where we're going to hear from God. That's where we're going to begin to know his heart and know his plans. And that's where things are going to change deep down inside of us that need to change. I love Luke 9:31 because it says, as Jesus prayed, his countenance changed. Can you imagine that? God's own countenance changed when he prayed. Yeah. But for God's countenance to change, who needs to change his countenance? He's God. But he has different, not moods, he's not moody, but he has different things on his mind and his heart. But as he prayed, he came into oneness with Father. And yeah, if you ever, that's why I said it's usually a smile. I mean, you're praying and you're God and you're talking and you're pouring out and then you're listening and then all of a sudden there he is. And this smile just comes on your face, you know? Your whole face just changes. But you know what? His face changes when we come to that place in him. We change his countenance too. Prayer is where everything begins and ends in the realm of the Spirit. It is here that everything is accomplished. Everything is accomplished when we come in agreement with God in prayer. Every major move of God, every revival, all the new things, all the power that breaks out is ushered in by prayer. How bad do we want to see something happen at Burning Bush? Where his countenance changed? 9:31. We hope. What? No way, man. What's wrong with my head? You guys just really, see, maybe I do this on purpose to make you go home and search the scriptures to see if these things are so. Challenges you to go and check it out, right? Oh, brother. Matthew 18:19 is about, you know, if two of you shall agree as touching anything. I love that as touching anything because when it really becomes real to you, you feel like it's right there in your hand. Once you have gotten to the place in prayer where you feel like you've got it, it's going to happen. You're touching it. Then you know God's going to do it. Then you start proclaiming it because it's going to happen. Prayer can move mountains. Prayer is our weapon. Isaiah 59:16. Who will stand in the gap? God asks, who will stand in the gap? There's a gap between a lot of people and God. Somebody's got to stand in that gap to pray them over into God. A great move of God comes through prayer and great attacks of Satan. When we start to stand in our right position in prayer, God will transform what the enemy is doing. He will transform it. But there will be attacks. I have never been so attacked as I am right now. I was telling Janiyah, I have to battle every day since I said, okay, God, I'm going to stand in my position and do exactly what you're asking no matter what. I wake up and I'm like, I'm too weak. I'm too carnal. I'm too whatever. It's too overwhelming. There's just too much. And I have this want to give up and just, I get mad at myself, and then I get overwhelmed and I want to give up. And all these attacks from the devil come on me. I'm too tired. My legs are killing me. My knees are killing me. Or this cough for 6 weeks, you know, not feeling well. And Harvey not being here. You know, you have no idea the strength that you can draw from your mate until they're gone. He entered my life as a weak, insecure, shy, terrified of people, didn't believe in myself that I could do anything. And Harvey just believes in me all the time. I mean, yesterday morning, honestly, if you've ever had to speak in front of people, you know how hard it is when nobody smiles, nobody speaks, there is no response, and you're standing there going, well, I guess I just blew it, and nobody got anything out of it, you know, and it's just dead, and nobody responded, and nobody got anything, and it was lifeless, and I go home, and I should just get somebody to get up and preach these things that's got some power, you know, or personality or something, and you beat yourself up. But every time I do anything that my husband's there, he just encourages me and encourages me. You know how he is when he's out there and you're speaking and he's like, amen, that's right. Oh, yeah, I love that. You know, he's just a cheerleader out there. But then when we go home, he just, I'm so pleased with you that you just love God so much and do what he wants. He just believes in me all the time. And when I go home to that empty house every night, I go, God, am I failing? Is it working? Am I doing what you want? And I miss Harvey so much, you know, just being there. And well, let's believe in each other, encourage each other, because it helps people stay on their feet when the devil is trying to knock them off, you know. It's good.